Okay, well, the president of Israel, Isaac Herzog, has come and gone. Anthony Albanese said from the start that this was all about social cohesion. Well, the images that I saw created anything but social cohesion. I think he got it wrong. Partly because if the aim was for him to come here and comfort the families and that was it, then fine. But it seemed to me he had a two-pronged approach. It wasn't just that. He also had a message for Australians and the Australian government. Even before he came out here, the Australian had a front-page piece in the day beforehand, quoting him as saying that Australians had been brainwashed and that they needed to better understand what Israel was doing in Gaza. And then when he got here, he challenged not only Australia's position, 150 other countries around the world have the same position on two-state solution, but he argued against that, and which I think is that just flying in the face of the basic view around Australia. So I don't think it worked, and I think it's made it very messy, particularly for Chris Minns, for him to praise the police without any suggestion that there might have been a bit of harshness on their part was a mistake, because it's sort of like in Donald Trump's America, he's telling you that wasn't murder, and we see the videos there for us to see. In Sydney, there was the one video with Adam Harvey, and the ABC counted the punches, he said, and there were 18 punches rained on this one individual. And now the watchdog within the police force, even though Minns wouldn't call for an inquiry, the watchdog and the police force is having its own to have a look at this. So overall, I think it was a mistake. It shouldn't have happened.
I think my big take out of that event was what I always thought would happen is with the hate speech legislation, you know, words like globalising intifada, which I think is an outrageous and appalling expression, it was still said by many speakers there. People are ignoring it. As I always thought that would. And all we've really achieved by introducing those laws is just more laws on top of already ineffective laws that people will ignore. So I think the whole exercise was fairly futile. And you know, but as far as Minns,
Well, certainly the exercise around social cohesion, it was futile in that sense.
You know, the interesting thing, though, is we asked a question in that poll most recently. It was an open-ended question, which is free text, where you can type in. So instead of giving you a laundry list of, you know, these are some people in Australian politics, what do you think of them, you know, Angus Taylor, Anthony Albanese, Jim Chalmers and so forth, you allow them to type in. So it's a very expensive process because you've got to codify all the answers of 1,000 people. But we were interested as an exercise to what people are absorbing, and, of course, more poignantly, the different generations, Z, millennial, X, boomers, the algorithms they inhabit, you know, because now people get their media sources from so many different sources. And the interesting thing to me was that when we asked them that question, we then codified it at 12% referred to the shark attacks that occurred in Sydney. There was a spate of them within about 48 hours. 10% referred to Bondi, Royal Commission, hate speech. 18% was Trump. And this comes to a point that we've been harping on for quite some time. Yeah. And those people that mentioned Trump, it was mostly about Greenland, Venezuela, and ICE. Trump is having the most permissive influence over the Australian political cycle since all the way with LBJ, that election. Now, you know, I've been doing research for a long time in the years of the Howard government and the Rudd Gillard government and so forth. You know, the presidents of the time, Obama, George W. Bush, yeah, I mean, everybody was aware of who the presidents were, maybe if there was a significant announcement like Afghanistan or so forth. But it wasn't this kind of wall of noise every week, which we're seeing from Trump. Now, not only does it make it harder for governments and particularly oppositions to overcome that wall of noise with their particular message or policy idea, but he is bending the media cycle. And the three biggest things this year on the Australian political psyche will be interest rates, AI, and the anxiety.
But I'm not sure how any of that goes to what I was talking about, and that is the Herzog visit.
Well, interestingly, the Herzog visit didn't come up at all.
Well, it didn't come up, but it's been a major story in every newspaper in the country now for 3 or 4 days. It was the biggest story around Australia.
But this is the point of the question, is when you ask people what they're seeing, it's one thing to put something on the front page. And, you know, in Victoria.
But they're seeing the images of a bloke being belted up, and they're hearing from their premier that nothing to see here. I'll just make this final point on this, though, if I can, that the people who ask for Herzog to visit are not Israelis. They're Jewish Australians. Therefore, this is based around religion, right? They were looking for comfort. Why do they look to a political figure rather than a religious figure to do that? And why Israel? Like, the president of Israel is an elected figure, therefore he's in effect a politician. He's been an absolute supporter of everything that Israel has done in terms of the war in Gaza. So he comes out here as an elected official. Wouldn't it have been better if it's because they are Jewish Australians that you invite the chief rabbi from Israel to come out and comfort Australians, and not a divisive politician, and not one who has been, and make it of whatever you like, but a United Nations committee of inquiry did find there's a case to be argued that genocide happened in Gaza, and that both Netanyahu and Herzog contributed to the incitement of that genocide. So why would you ask a figure of that nature when you could have asked the chief rabbi? I just think it was, you could see that one a mile off, and it worked out the way that I thought it would. Look, just before we finish, I want to pay a tribute to the Guardian's deputy editor-in-chief, Eleanor Taylor, who is leaving after 10 years. She wasn't only just, you know, a trailblazer in terms of being a female editor, but it's one thing to be a female. You've got to succeed. There's pressure on them, and she succeeded. But I remember well the cynicism and the knockers when the idea of the Guardian entering that space, the online news market, and they said, look, struggle for attention. It's a crowded market. Essentially, it's a niche market. Well, she proved them wrong. It's now bigger than The Age, the Sydney Morning Herald and The Australian with its online presence. And for that, Lenore, I think, can take much of the credit. And the credit, too, for something that is way down in terms of the lower end of her achievements. But back-to-back Barry's was her idea. I thank her for that.
Well, actually, Laurie Oakes would argue a tweet from 2022 where he actually suggested you and I do a podcast. But Lenore took the risk. And
Laurie had the idea, perhaps, but Lenore took it up.
Laurie's big picture. I first met Lenore when she was at the Australian, and ETS was at the time a big national debate, the emissions trading scheme. And she was all over it like white on rice. And I basically had the talking points. I was a press sec. And I can remember she'd be asking me questions. And I'm like, please don't ask me the next question. Of course, she would ask me the next question, of which I had no idea. So I was always taking questions on notice. And she must have thought I was an idiot. But she called up a year ago and asked me if I was interested. So I'm very grateful for that.
Great. Well, that's it for this week, and we do look forward to a fascinating year in Australian politics. This podcast was made on the sovereign lands of the Wurundjeri people. It was produced by Camilla Hannan, and video production, we're out there on YouTube now, so video production, Burton Wynn.
The executive producer is Hannah Parks.
I'm Barry Cassidy.
And I'm Tony Barry, and this is Back to Back Barry's, a Guardian Australia podcast.